Hello, my name is Sharina, and this is a practice IOC on Death of a Naturalist by Seamus Heaney. So this poem is within Seamus Heaney's poetry collection, Death of a Naturalist, and this poem, the collection is named after this particular poem. Death of a Naturalist was originally published in 1966. It consists of 34 short poems by Seamus Heaney, which recount his childhood experiences and the formulation of his adult identity through these experiences. So I'm going to be analyzing this poem chronologically. First, I'll start off with analyzing the title of the poem, Death of a Naturalist. So we can see a bit of an oxymoron here. Death, maybe a metaphor for the death of the narrator's innocence or just his maturity. Naturalist, this can be defined as someone who studies nature or has a passion for living things. So Death of a Naturalist, we kind of get the sense of a paradoxical metaphor. So the poem begins with, "All year the flax stem festered in the heart." All year already we get a biographical introduction to the setting, because we know Heaney grew up in Ireland. So this may explain the weather conditions. The flax stem festered. This is an alliteration which already connotes some innocence within the narrator. Flax stem festered also has some decaying imagery, as we get a symbolism for the narrator's decay of his youth, as later the poem develops as he grows up. In the heart, we already get some sense of life. We get a vivid memory. He brings the setting, the atmosphere to life. This is followed by an enjambment, which may show the narrator's childhood excitement or innocence of the townland once again setting. This is followed by a semicolon in the middle of the poem, which may be a segregation of his reality to his childhood imagination. Green and heavy-headed personification, like the place is alive. So the child has this eye where he manages to bring the atmosphere to life. Flax had rotted here. Once again, we get sense of decay there. Rotted there, weighted down by huge sods. Here there's a bit of assonance, rotted down by huge sods. So this may build some rhythm. This gives indications of possibly a child lullaby, where once again we get a sense of the narrator's recounting his memory as a child. Weighted down may be a metaphor, as we know the idiom weighed down means to disappoint someone or to depress someone. So this may be foreshadowing his future growing up and realizing that life is not all that perfect. Daily it sweltered in the punishing sun. Punishing sun is personification for the sun, being an oppressive ruler. So once again, this sense of imagination, sense of innocence, bringing the place to life. Sweltered once again, sense of decay. And daily also implies that he was experienced and he was there every day. Bubbles gargled delicately. Bubbles gargled, we get this onomatopoeic alliteration, which reflects the child's age, possibly being around age 7 to 10, innocence, gargled delicately. Heaney follows this by saying, "Blue bottles wove a strong gauze of of sound around the smell." So this is an example of synesthesia, where he uses one sensory description to describe another sensory description. So wove a strong gauze. Gauze is a soft, thin, light fabric. So what we know is flax can produce fiber, and therefore can produce fabric. So what we get the sense of here is that the soft fabric wraps itself around the atmosphere. You can almost see it. So he follows this by, "There were dragonflies, spotted butterflies." So here we get a bit of semi-rhyme. There's a sense of lullaby, there's delicacy, there's childlike descriptions. But best of all, this is more innocent language, was the warm, thick slumber. So we can see that this child is courageous. He has he's intrigued by nature. So a frog pond that grew like clotted. Clotted has imagery of something unappealing, but the child sees beauty in this, which may mean that the child sees a perfect portrayal of how the world is while he's young. In the shade of the banks. This is there's a caesura in this sentence because this may indicate the end of the setting scene. Here, so the narrator takes us there. The narrator takes us to this place here. Every spring. So spring has symbols of youth and growth. So this is the season of where we get a theme of rebirth and renewal, which may also reflect the life cycle of the tadpoles to frogs that he explains later. But simultaneously, we get the idea that the narrator is growing up. His youth is coming to an end. I would fill jam pots of the jelly. So the narrator's introduced here. This past tense, it's a memory. Specks to range on the windowsills at home. At home, Ireland, windowsills. We get the sense of innocence. He's presenting the frog's pond. Specks is also some indications to the clumpy jelly in the jars. On shelves at school and wait and watch. Wait and watch, we get this alliteration. Once again, innocence, childlike language. The fattening dots burst, so we get this seizure because you could get indications of, we get this comma in the middle of the line, we get the indication of a frog's life cycle continuously, chronologically, into nimble, swimming tadpoles. So, here we get, what Heaney uses in this poem is a blank verse to create a sense of rhythm within the poem. So we get iambic pentameters. Here we see swimming tadpoles. Miss Walls would tell us how. However, in this line, Heaney stresses the first syllable, swimming. So this may indicate that there's unpredictable expectation. There's an unpredictable future ahead of the boy that he doesn't realize. He faces reality and realizes that life is maybe bitter and not what he expected. The daddy frog was called bullfrog and how he croaked. So daddy frog, this is more indications to his innocence and his childhood and youth. The mommy frog croaked, maybe metaphor for himself. So like when he grows up, it may foreshadow him groaning about life or just becoming old of age. Like hundreds of eggs. This is more a reproduction life cycle. It's a natural reproduction. It's a life process. So what Heaney uses a lot in the stanza we see is enjambment. This may show the reader may get indications that the narrator is out of breath, possibly because he's excited. He's excited as a child. He's curious about nature. He's curious about the world around him. He's curious about living things. So frogs, one, you could tell the weather by frogs too. So he's informative, he's confident, he knows what he's trying to inform the reader about what his knowledge on the frog's life cycle. For there were yellow in the sun and brown. So here we also get a sense of pathetic fallacy, which is also shown in line 4, punishing sun. Once again, just bringing things to life. The mood, the atmosphere reflecting the mood of the narrator, and this stanza ends in rain. So what we get here is a complete change in tone. We get the segregation from the rest of the stanza. In rain may be an indication of him growing up into adulthood. So these are just two lines, and maybe foreshadowing him for his forthcoming negative change. So the second stanza begins with, then one hot day when fields were rank, with cow dung in the grassy under frost. So there's a total transformation. This may be metaphorical for the narrator's transformation to puberty, maturity, or a metaphor for his experience. Then, the first line, straight away we see a complete change in tone, in setting, in atmosphere, in age. Invaded the flax down. So invaded, we get the sense that the experience invaded his innocence. This may be metaphorical, as the narrator didn't see this coming. He grew up and realized that nature was not to the extent that he had expected. His life became, he grew up, he didn't see beauty in things anymore. The flax, and once again, this is repetition of earlier flax. We get that sense of decay. A duck through the hedges to a coarse croaking that I had not heard before. So the narrator's unfamiliar, his unexpectancy, before we get a period and seizure in the middle of the line. This may also be another form of segregation from before, his past and his present. The air was thick with the bass chorus. So this is more examples of synesthesia. The air is wrapping around him, similarly to how the gauze wrapped around the flax dam. He sees what it really is. So right down the dam grows bellied frogs were cocked. This is more unpleasant imagery. Gross, bellied, cocked. This is not only literally the representation of the grown-up frogs, but it's also a representation of adulthood. So the frogs have grown up, similar to how humans grow up and become unpleasant, and don't have that imagination, that innocence anymore through experience. So on sods, once again, this is damp ground. On sods, maybe a representation of the narrator standing on sods, meaning the world is damp and sad and decaying. Their loose necks pulse like sails. So this is a simile for giving the frogs more power than because the narrator feels a menace from the frogs. Some hops, the slap and plop. So this is more onomatopoeia and assonance, and to some extent consonance. We get that rhythm that possibly a portrayal of the frog's heartbeat or the child's heartbeat. Just the whole theme of life in this poem, where obscene threats. So we can see the obscene threats. We see a harsh syllable, threats. So what this means, maybe it just makes the reader feel uneasy and empathy for the narrator.
If I can just interject, Sharina, can you just pick up a couple more key points in the final stanza, and then I'll ask you some questions.
Of course. Okay. So one thing in the last stanza that I would like to address is that if I dip my hand in the spawn, the spawn would clutch it. So from this, we get the sense not only literally would the narrator dip his hand into the frog spawn, but we get a metaphor for him growing up. So maybe this revenge is metaphorical for his sins, for him repaying his wrongs in his life, or growing up and doing bad. Mm. And maybe get a sense of karma. So there's a deterioration of his mind here, where he completely changes his perspective, where he sees the frogs as a threat. But this is also, we also see a theme of man versus nature, where the narrator comes to terms with what is really around him, what he's surrounded with throughout his life, and him growing up. And it's just a description of Heaney's experience with nature as a boy, and it's all an extended metaphor for his child experience. And he recounts his youthful naivety. Mm. So he adopts the voice of his boyhood self, and he's unaware of the monstrosities that will corrupt his mind and change his perspective of nature when he grows up.
Okay, thanks. Tell me a little bit about the separation of the poem into two separate stanzas. What's the function or the impact of the two stanzas?
All right, well, we see in the first stanza that it's almost double the length of the second stanza. This may mean that when he was young, there was a lot in his life. There was lots of life, a lot of matter that didn't corrupt his mind quite yet. There was a lot for him to look forward to. He saw so much imagination. He had that innocence. And when he grew up, stanza two is a representation of him in puberty, growing up into adulthood. It's almost half the length, which may mean that it wasn't quite what he expected. It was far less than what he had expected. It's the sense of decay, the sense of bitterness.
Okay, one more question. You talked about the blank verse in the poem, and you mentioned as well the final line of the first stanza in Rain, which is a standalone line.
Yeah.
What's the function, what's the significance of In Rain being a standalone line?
In Rain being a standalone line, this may... it's a complete contrast from the rest of the poem. poem where he brings everything to life. There's spring, there's blossoming flowers, and rain just a complete contradiction to the rest of the setting. It may show just a metaphor for his adulthood in rain. We get connotations of sadness, depression, which is things that humans face in growing up in maturity. Mm.
As it transitions to the final stanza, how does the standalone line break the meter or the rhythm of the poem?
In rain, okay, so we see Heaney uses the iambic pentameter throughout the majority of this poem to build that rhythm. In rain is unexpected, so we get this complete turn, this contrast from that expected iambic pentameter, that rhythm, that stress on stress syllable. And rain is just two words, and it may depict a complete change in tone, in mindset, in negativity, in a negative way. So it's foreshadowing this forthcoming negative change in the narrator, and in rain, just a setting where he fulfills a life of sadness, probably, or just Heaney, as growing up in adulthood, just realizes that this setting, which may represent what he saw the world as a child, he was not what he expected in rain.
Okay, we'll stop. Thank you, Shrina.